love of God, for God will continue to keep His hand upon you and I, and we can be blessed to know that God is with us every step of the way. If you would stand with me across the building, not going to let you off that easy today. We've got to read Galatians 2 and 20. And we read this every Sunday morning. And I'm telling you guys, you've got to have it close to memorizing, especially those that come to church here every Sunday. This is one of the scriptures that I know you got memorized. So let's read that today, Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today. It is my privilege and an honor to see us come together and me to be here with you once again. And it just, as I've always said, it seems like time, my dad always said, he'd say, son, time waits on no man. And that is a true statement. Time continues on. And it's just like, it seems like it's just getting faster and faster. And I guess it's because I'm getting older. And we're all getting older. And so with that, time does not wait on no man. And it continues on. But it's good that you and I are here today. I want to welcome those that are watching us live today. My prayers are something I can say to you and your family to encourage you as we open up here in God's Word. If you would go with me to Psalms 97 and 10. We're in the Old Testament. Psalms 97 and 10. And we want to look at this passage here a little bit. And the title of my message today is this, No Middle Ground. No Middle Ground. And I want to talk a little bit here today on this title of No Middle Ground. And so let's look at this, Psalms 97 and 10. No Middle Ground. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. I want to read that again as we look at this. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Can I hear amen to God's word? Now I want to look at this passage here a little bit because the psalmist is writing. He is saying, you who love the Lord and want to know more about the Lord, you're hating evil that is around you. You're hating evil as it even tries to enter into you or tries to discourage you, because the Bible says, as the psalmist writes, He preserves the soul of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. In other words, God has His hand on the saints of God. God has His hand upon you. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you've made that profession of faith, and you're trusting the Lord, guess what? His hands are on you. And He is protecting you from any evil or anything that comes against you. You say, why is that, Pastor? Because when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you are now sons and daughter of the Most High God. You are now one of His, and He's going to take care of His, because He's not going to let anything come against you. The only way anything's going to come against you is that you allow it to come against you. When you open up the door, there are some, and I've always said, you know, you can close the door in the front, but if you leave the back door open, that's just going to be a heyday for the enemy to walk into your life. So closing the front door is not going to be helping to keep the enemy away. You've got to close the back door as well. Because there's two doors. There's an entrance in the front and there's an entrance in the back. And so that has to be closed. And when it is closed and you make the decision that you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to make the decision that you're not going to let anything sever your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible says He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked, and light is sown for the righteous. In other words, there is light that's on your pathway now. When you accepted Jesus, Jesus is not keeping you in the dark. God is not about dark. God is about light. The devil is about the darkness. He only sees darkness. He can't see light. When he sees light, he begins to tremble. When he begins to see God move, he trembles. He begins to back off. He loves to lurk and work in darkness. But Jesus Christ has come that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. And with that, there is the gladness of the upright within the heart, because verse 12 says, rejoice in the Lord, your righteous. Rejoice in the Lord. When evil comes against you, you rejoice in the Lord. You give God praise when the enemy comes to tempt you, when he comes to try you, when you begin to go through a test. What do? You give God praise, and you praise Him in the good times. You praise Him in the bad times, because you know God is your source and He's going to take care of you every step of the way, because God's Word says, and give thanks at the remembrance of His capitalized, His holy name. He is holy. He is King of Kings. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He fails not. It doesn't matter what goes on in life. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what's in the world. He is still God. He still will get praise, whether you praise Him or not, whether you lift Him up or not. He's going to get praise. He's going to get glory, because one day every knee's going to bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they will see and know that He is the King of all kings. I want you to know today that the love for God is normal for a Christian. And if you see a Christian that doesn't love God and love his neighbor, then there's a problem, folks. There's a problem. Because that's what Jesus has commanded us to do. Jesus says, I have written a new commandment. You know, we know about the Ten Commandments, but Jesus says, I've written a new commandment. And He says, in other words, I've written it on your heart. In other words, it's a heart thing now. It's not just reading from a distance. It's not just going through the do's and the don'ts and the regulations of everything. But now Jesus says, I've written something in your heart, that your heart has been changed. And in that heart, God says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the new commandment that Jesus tells us. And if we find a Christian that don't love God and Lord, love those around them, then there's a problem. There's an inventory that they're going to have to take. There is an inventory that they've got to take. They've got to examine to see if they are of the faith. The Bible lets us know clearly that we are the happy recipients of the love of God. God's love reveals at the cross, as He revealed to one and all, and even you today, and calls for our love in return. Hate for sin is normal for those who love God. Let me say this again. Hate for sin is normal for those who love God. We are to love sinners, but we are to hate the sin. Let me say this again. I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this today. We are to love sinners, but we are to hate the sin. We love everybody, but we hate the sin that's being activated in their heart and their life. You see how our text demands that we hate evil. Our choices blesses us or it distresses us. Let me say it again. Our choices that we make, as the psalmist writes to us, as God's word says, our choices blesses us or distresses us. You're either going to get better or you're going to get bitter. You're going to get mad because it's not going your way and you think all H-E-L-L is broke loose in your life. And yet you want to raise your fist up at God and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? When in all actuality, God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to let you know that the road you're going down is not a road of success. That the road that you're going down, the enemy, the evil one, is leading you to a road of destruction. And oh, he paints it beautiful. He paints a beautiful picture. And oh, our hearts gets all desired up and all, oh, great. And we really get overwhelmed and we think, oh, this is right. This feels good. And this is all. And then at the very end, the devil's got you. He took you down a road of a dead end and nothing but destruction. And the Bible lets us know we as Christians, we must hate the evil because the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy, but God has come to save those which are lost and to bring those back to the fold because He's the chief shepherd. He's over us. He's watching over us. He sees that when we drift to the left, to the right, He wants to bring us back in as a good shepherd does. He's the great shepherd. He's looking over our life because He sees what's best for you and I, and He knows what tomorrow brings. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You may not live tomorrow. This may be your last day. This might be my last day. We're not granted tomorrow, but only God knows. But we are to trust in Him and believe because He says, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name to know that He is in charge. My first point today is this. We can choose deliverance or we can choose danger. We can choose deliverance or we can choose danger. You know, I've said it and I will say it again. God gives us free choice. We are free moral agent. God gives us. God's not going to be in the heavens with His billy bat to make us serve Him. He's not going to be in the heavens to make us come to church. He's not going to make us in His heavens with His billy bat to make us love people. He's not going to do that because we have a free choice whether we're going to. You have to choose whether you're going to love because it's action. You've got to make a decision whether you're going to love somebody or whether you're going to hate somebody. You've got to make a choice whether you want deliverance to come in your life, and that God would set you free. If you're dealing with addiction, if you're dealing with issues, you've got to make a decision. Do I want to pray into deliverance, or do I want danger to be everywhere around me? That's a choice we have to make. Psalms 97 and 10. You who love the Lord, you hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He preserves. When you walk away from evil, and when you walk away from those temptations, when you walk away from the things that's bringing you down, He preserves your souls. Listen, this is what the Word says. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He delivers you out. Not anybody else delivers you out, but He delivers you out when you delight in Him and you put your faith in Him. And when you hate the evil and you say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me, Lord. That's when Jesus will remind you that He says, I will preserve those that call on My name. He says, I hear their voice. The great shepherd hears the sheep's voice, and those that He hears, He tends to. And when we have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and we call upon Him, He will hear the voice, and He will answer the voice, and He will preserve those that love Him and that is called according to His purpose. Listen, I want you to know today, the Lord preserves those who live for Him. Rejecting compromise with evil brings deliverance from its consequences. The Lord always gives His best to those who live for Him. Oh, I've got to read this again. The Lord always gives His best to those who live for Him. I was just sharing with somebody just not too long ago here how that they are working for the Lord and how they're doing a wonderful job even here at Victory Fellowship. But when you work for the Lord, there's great dividends, there are great blessings, there are great returns when you volunteer your time, whether it's to mop the floor, if it's to vacuum, if it's to be a greeter, a door greeter, it's to be an usher, whatever it may be, you're not doing it for me and you're doing it for man, but you're doing it for God. And there's great benefits that God gives unto us. The Lord always gives His best. He don't settle for less. He gives His very best. You say, well, Pastor, how does He give His very best? Well, He showed us through His Son, Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago. He gave His very best, that you and I may not be nailed to a tree, but that we would have freedom and liberty and know that we can be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Charles Spurgeon once wrote this. He was a great evangelist. Those who love the Lord will see His love revealed to them in protection from their enemies. As they keep from evil, all evil will be kept from them. Listen to this. Those who love the Lord will see His love. As you love the Lord, you will see. God will reveal Himself of protection from your enemies and keep, not even protect you from the enemy, but keep you from the evil from the enemy, and will keep you safe. The Lord deserves our full commitment to Him. Why? Because He's committed to us. We need His undivided attention. Why? Because God sent His one and only Son and sacrificed Him on a tree that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly, and that you and I would have victory. If He had not been nailed to the tree, if He had not been in the tomb, if he had not come from the tomb in 3 days. Everything that we're doing today would be in vain. We wouldn't need to be at church. You wouldn't need salvation. You wouldn't need any of this. We could go home and be done with everything else. But because of the Lamb of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the tree over 2,000 years ago, and because He arose on the third day and He's seated with the right hand of the Father, then you and I have victory today because we know that our God is for us and not against us. Romans 12 and 1 says this. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. He says a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking any more out of you. No, not asking great big thing out of you. Just the reasonable service. And do not, look at this, what the Apostle Paul writes. And do not be conformed to this world. Not conformed. Why? Because you've been changed. Why? Because you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life. You're not going the way of the world is. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. We see the evil, but we hate the evil. Be holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed. There must be a transformation that goes into our heart and life. When we accept Jesus, we don't go it through just motions. We go through the form of a change. We become a disciple. We become a servant. Everybody can say they are a Christian, but here's where the road meets the pavement with us, is that are you living for the Lord? Are you a servant? Are you a disciple? Disciple, the word disciple means discipline. Are you disciplined to learn God's Word, to move forward in that relationship with Him? Because be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that that's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. If you're not transformed and renewed in your mind, you're not going to know what is good and what is bad. But when you are renewed, you've got to be renewed daily. You've got to renew the mind. The mind, I've said it and will say it again, the mind is not saved. There are stuff that goes in what you hear, and what you hear comes out the other end of your ear, or the other side of your ear. What goes into the heart of man is going to come out of the heart of man. It's not what goes in the man, the Bible says, that defiles him. It's what comes out of the heart of man that defiles him. And what we need to understand is that are we're going to take in what we hear? Are we going to let it stay there? Are we going to let it move in our lives? Or are we going to let it just go in one ear and out the other? Sometimes when people are talking to us, you make a decision whether you want to sit there, stand there, and listen to them. And you make a decision whether you want it to stay in your mind and in your heart, or whether you want to let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, have you ever been around somebody and somebody's just talking right away, but they don't act like they're there, and they don't act like they're getting into your conversation? What they're doing is they're just letting you vent, or they're just letting you talk. They're just letting it go in one ear and out the other. They're not responding, and that's a world that we live in. Listen, God wants to respond on everything that we do, but He is saying we've got to know what is right and what is wrong. Because that's what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about what's good is bad and what's bad is good. And that's where we're at in that society today that we live. Second point today is this. We can choose light or we can choose darkness. That is a choice that you and I have to make. You're either going to choose light or you're going to choose darkness. Which one are you going to go for? Psalms 97:11 says, light is shown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. To love the Lord demands walking in the light. Those who follow Christ do not walk in darkness. Satan is about darkness. He likes things dark because he's not about light. He doesn't want to show anything on your life. He wants to keep you in the dark. Why? Because he is dark. And that's all he knows. When he was cast out of heaven, he went through earth, he was in darkness. Because why? Because we know pride crept in his heart and in his life. And things begin to change. Those who follow Christ do not walk in darkness. John 8 and 12 says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. You're going to walk in light because you're the light of the world. In other words, Jesus Christ has shone the light upon your life and my life. 1 John 2 and 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. Look at this. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And if it's not in you, what do you have to do? You have to repent. You have to do your first works over. If you've been saved before and you've walked in darkness and you're living in darkness, then you're not of Him. You've got to repent. You've got to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I slipped. I failed you. And Lord, I want to come and reunite myself to you. For He says, men shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He goes on and says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. If you love the world, death will be to you. Because that's where you're headed. You're headed to a place called hell and not a place called heaven. God lets us know that. Listen, Charles Spurgeon writes this and he says, right leads to light. And yet in the integrity lies the seeds of happiness which develop into a harvest of joy. God has lightning for sinners and light for saints. The gospel of Jesus, wherever it goes, sows the earth with a joy for believers. Lightning, I like the way he says it. Lightning is for the sinner and light is for the saints. And so what we need to know that there is a path that God has sent us on with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes this in Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, let's put on the whole armor of God that you and I can withstand the wiles of the enemy. The darts that he will shoot at us day in and day out to catch us when we're off our walk with God, if we've been slack in our reading, our slack in praying, the enemy's lurking, the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come that we may have life and be salt and light to a world that's dying, that doesn't know Jesus. You are the light of the world. Corinthians 6 and 14. Paul says this, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Listen, we may have friends that don't know the Lord Jesus, but we don't need to be hanging out with them if they're going to affect your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be influenced by others that are doing evil. Don't be influenced and say, well, I'm a Christian on Sunday, but I'm a friend on Monday to my friends. No, God wants you to be the same on Sunday as you are on Monday. Because He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want just a relationship on Sunday. Can you just be filled with God's Spirit let's just say, for example, you're eating a full meal today and you ate a buffet today after church. Can you go a whole week until next Sunday until you get to another buffet? No. You got to have food the same way it is spiritually. You can't just get food on Sunday morning and go all the way until you get back to the next Sunday. No, God doesn't have a relationship like that with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you every day. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to talk with Him. He wants you to experience the goodness of the Lord. God is not a God that's sitting on a shelf and you can pick Him up anytime you feel like it or when you need Him. No, God wants to be in your heart and your life daily. He wants to live out. He wants to live in you and out of you every day. He wants you to see the goodness. He wants you to share the loving kindness to others. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. They've stuck a dagger in my back. They've done this and they've done that. You still love them. Jesus says, love your enemies. Those that hate you, those that rightfully misuse you and do, you love them and give them. God is the rewarder of those that diligently seeks Him. Jesus says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He'll take care of your enemies. He'll take care of those that go against you. You've just got to do what Jesus has commanded. Loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Third, in my closing, we can choose to rejoice or we can choose to regret. We can choose to rejoice or we can choose to regret. Psalms 97:11, light is sown for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, your righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Loving God and walking in the light brings rejoicing. Loving God and walking in light, not darkness, walking in light, rejoicing and loving in God brings rejoicing. Thanksgiving flows from the committed heart. When you commit your heart to the Lord, it's to say, Lord, I am there. I am committed. Compromising with the enemy brings regret. When you compromise with the enemy, it brings regret. We hate evil because we love our holy God. He is a holy God. We rejoice in the righteousness of our Lord. We give thanks for His holiness. His holiness. In other words, when we see the word holiness, there is a wholeness of God. In other words, there is completion. There is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity. Everyone has its place and its position, but it is in one. loving God and hating evil has become our compass for life. Loving God and hating evil. We live in an evil world today. And we see nothing but evil. I'm going to tell you this today. This world is much evil, eviler, if that's such a word, might not be. But it's gotten so bad that it's much greater in evil now than it was 20 years ago. And all we see is nothing but the fulfilling of God's word day in and day out. And we see nothing but evil at every hand. But we, as saints of God, we as Christians, we've got to continue to hate evil. We've got to know when it's lurking near us. We've got to know when it's trying to separate us from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to know these things. Because if not, we will blend in with the society of evilness and we will blend in with everything and we'll not know what's right or wrong. Because we're so used to hearing it. We're so used to being around it. We have now adapted to society. We have now adapted to the ways of evil. We've got to call it like it is. Black is black. White is white. Hell is hot. Heaven is sweet. And know the difference through our walk, because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But we've got to do it with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has commanded us to serve Him, to live for Him, to be the disciple that we need to be, and stand firm in the truth on God's Word. And don't deviate. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look to the cross. And know that the Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you and take care of you every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. If somebody is drinking, don't drink. If somebody is smoking, don't smoke. If somebody's peeling it up or shooting it up or snorting it up, don't do it. Because it's nothing but a weapon that Satan is wanting to do, because he is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. And you say, oh, but one cigarette's okay. Oh, one beer's okay. It's not. No, it may not send you to hell, but it's going to bring you down the more you do it, because when you get one beer, you want two beers. And when you get two beers, you want three beers. None of that stuff. And I'm just giving you an example. It goes on and on and on. It can go into pornography. It can go into all kind of other stuff. I'm just giving you some examples. That's what the enemy likes to do, because he is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And it will bring your family down. It'll bring your friends down. It'll bring your marriage down. It will bring everything around you. And when it brings you down, he's done got you. Because he don't need to mess with nobody else. He doesn't need to mess with anybody else. And if he can bring the pastor down, he's done brought the whole congregation down. Because that's what a lot of our churches have gone through today. Great men of God that I thought so much of, the enemy has had a heyday in their life. And they've pastored mega churches. And the enemy has brought them down. And folks, that's why it's so important that you and I, including your pastor, has to stay in prayer before God in a repentive heart and a repentive mind, because the enemy has no respect of persons to you or to me, because he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But God says, I have come to give life and give it more abundantly. So don't let the enemy rock you to sleep. Don't let him take you and sell you a bill of goods and say, oh, everything's okay, everything's all right, you're going to be okay, you're going to be right. No, you better check yourself. You better stop and you need to check yourself. That's why the Apostle Paul says you need to examine yourself and make sure you're of the faith. Make sure. Make sure. Listen, in my closing, I'm closing right here. In my conclusion, fully surrender must be our goal. Fully surrender. Not half surrender, not some surrender. We've got to fully surrender. Fully surrender must be our goal. There is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. There's no lukewarm. God says, I'd rather have you hot or cold.